Oh, God, Mike, that was awful.
Oh, it was terrible.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Oh, crap, we didn't have the microphone on.
No.
No, it's okay. They're never going to let us play that again.
Never.
Happy New Year, nerds! Welcome to Geek Salad, episode 36.
Too white and nerdy!
I'm Andy.
And I'm Mike.
And we are here today to introduce our potpourri episode.
Yes.
On our last episode, our Christmas episode, we enlisted our loyal Geek Salad listeners to come up with short ideas, things that they would really want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
On a show that really wouldn't encompass an entire show's worth.
Right.
This show will actually be pretty short because of it.
Yeah.
But,
We should start off by saying that we are now speaking into the guard for Jabba the Hutt's palace.
Yes. If you've noticed a difference in the sound quality, we have just actually got a new mic, courtesy of Autumn.
Yes.
Who got me a brand new podcasting mic for Christmas. This thing looks like a thermal detonator.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It is really cool, and hopefully, we won't sound like we're broadcasting out of a coffee can anymore.
Boshuda.
Exactly. So let's get started. We're going to break it up into segments to kind of just make it easier to follow.
Right.
Let's start with TV.
Yeah.
Mike, do you want to talk about your favorite or just a specific TV episode that really stayed
right.
with you?
This one just stuck in my mind ever since the first time I saw it. There was a show ran, I think, 1991, 1992. It's called Erie, Indiana.
My name is Marshall Teller. I knew my new hometown was going to be different from where I grew up in New Jersey, but this is ridiculous. Nobody believes me, but Erie, Indiana is the center of weirdness for the entire planet. Item. Elvis lives on my paper route.
Thank you, little paper boy.
Item. Bigfoot eats out of my trash. Item. Even man's best friend is weird. Still don't believe me? You will.
It was on Saturday
nights.
Yeah, Saturday mornings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But this was a very freaky show, and the second episode was, in my opinion, the freakiest.
Yeah.
It was directed by Joe Dante of Gremlins fame.
Okay.
It was called The Retainer. The basic upshot of Erie, Indiana was you had this kid named Marshall who moved from New Jersey with his family to this town called Erie, Indiana. And he describes it as the center of weirdness for the entire United States.
Hmm.
And each episode just kind of him with his friend of his, Simon, investigating the weirdness. In this one, this is the second episode, a friend of theirs at school gets the world's largest retainer. I mean, this is like a massive complex. And he suddenly notices that he starts hearing voices whenever dogs are around.
Hmm.
Turns out this massive retainer allows him to hear dogs' thoughts.
Wow.
And the dogs are actually planning some kind of coup against the humans.
Oh, man.
So, needless to say, spoiler alert, in the end, the dogs chase after him, chase after the kid. Then it cuts to black, and then it's showing, like, Marshall gets like a retainer, but it's a regular one.
All right.
He sees a dog in the street. The dog comes up to him and drops the kid's mangled retainer.
Ugh.
And you never hear from that kid again.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right.
This was a kid's Saturday morning show.
Wow.
Yeah, I love
that. Wow, That's pretty deep for kids. I mean, that's like the old Goosebumps. Remember those?
Oh, yes.
From the mid-90s?
Yeah.
They were terrifying for children and not so much for anybody else?
No, not really. It's like, are you afraid of the dark?
Oh, yeah. The poor man's Goosebumps.
I like
Goosebumps.
That show.
So my TV episode is from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is one of the funniest shows on television. And it's D. Reynolds' Shaping America's Youth, otherwise known as the Lethal Weapon 5 episode.
Okay.
This episode is, in my opinion, the best Sonny episode ever.
Wow.
Better than Dayman. Better than The Gang Starts a Band, which introduced the song Dayman,
yeah.
And its counterpart, Nightman. And it is just, it's hysterical, because not only is Dee Reynolds, who has no business teaching children.
Right.
She's teaching them drama.
Okay.
Charlie is is now the janitor at that school. The gang all had a falling out, so Charlie's now the janitor, and everyone in the school is calling him the professor. But and he was hired. The principal in the episode is Dave Foley.
Oh, really?
From the Kids in the Hall.
And News Radio.
And News Radio. And oh my God, is he funny? There's this great exchange where Charlie reminds him, "Hey, you hired me." And the principal just looks and goes, "Yep, a fact that will probably cost me my job."
Now, was this old Dave Foley or young Dave
this
Foley?
This is old, terrible-looking Dave Foley.
Okay.
But the best part of the episode is Lethal Weapon 5.
Okay.
If you're familiar with the show, the two real main characters are Dennis and Mac, who are just both complete tools.
Right.
They come up with a sequel to Lethal Weapon 5 where they are playing Riggs and Murtaugh.
Okay.
And at the very beginning of the film, Mac is playing Murtaugh.
Okay.
And he's not bothering with the accent or anything like that. And Dennis is playing Riggs. No, sorry. Flip that.
Okay.
I confused them. So, so Dennis is playing Murtaugh, but he does it completely straight.
Yeah.
It's just typical, skinny, white Dennis. And then, halfway through, they switch.
Okay.
So, where Dennis is now playing Riggs, and he's doing the thick accent.
Right.
And Mac paints himself black to do Murtaugh, and he sounds just like Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder.
Oh,
it's so offensive.
The city will be looking to new resources for water, like my tribe. And you can bet your boots, detective, that this time...
This is regrettable.
You're supposed to be... noble people. I tire of this conversation. Do you have any last words?
Yeah, I got some last words. Go suck an egg. Yeah, go suck an egg.
Suck an egg?
Sounds like you guys are having a great party. Why wasn't I invited?
But the best part about it is that Danny DeVito's character, Frank, has a scene in it where he plays the villain.
Right.
And there's a very long, very graphic sex scene that he just shot with a hooker. And it just goes on way too long because... And she doesn't even want him to touch her, you know? But check it out. It is hysterical.
Okay.
Now, Nick had an entry for this too, right?
Yep. Nick, our loyal listener and... part-time contributor.
Yep.
He unfortunately could not contribute a clip to the show because he just got a new computer.
Oh. Okay. So in other words, it's like the stereotypes of the Canadian healthcare. He's gonna wait to have his computer up and running.
Well, he just got it, but it's a nice one. But yeah, he.
Damn you and your $2 coins.
But he suggested that we talk about the return of Futurama.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Professor, my fry throw is all frizzy.
Okay.
Well, that's all. Oh, also, I'm covered with severe burns.
So? What of it?
Well, why is those things?
You mean you don't remember?
Nope, nothing. It's like when I passed out in college, except no one drew magic marker penises on my forehead.
Well, I suppose it's for the best, considering the unbearable horrors you've endured. Let's never speak of it again. It all began a few days ago.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I watched the episode Futurama Rebirth today. I'm kind of behind. I have not watched any of the new episodes.
All right.
But Rebirth, it was very, very funny. It was getting back to, you know, Futurama, the
like
funny Futurama.
The 1999 Futurama?
Yes.
All right, because I own the first three seasons on DVD,
right.
And I really just kind of gave up after that because they started investing in characters that really you don't care about.
Right.
Zoidberg is good once a season,
yeah.
But two or three episodes a season are just, it's kind of pathetic.
Yeah, definitely.
The Rasta guy, whose name I cannot remember.
Hermes,
yeah. I don't care about him and his hot wife.
No.
And the last thing I actually watched from Futurama was one of the movies,
mm-hmm.
And I was bored by it, you know? And I used to love Futurama, because I love Matt Groening.
Right.
I thought, you know, at first it was a great show.
Oh, yeah. What about Ziff?
Which one's Ziff?
The alien.
Yes, that's right. And Zap Brannigan.
Yes.
I love the character of Zap Brannigan. It's too bad that Phil Hartman died, because he was actually supposed to play Zap.
Oh, yeah.
His too short tunic and no underwear.
Well, I think the guy that they got for Zap... does a good Phil Hartman impersonation.
He does. He does. But Ziff is great, too. It's just that he just is so much smarter, and he can't do anything about it.
But yet he gets to bang Amy Wong.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Who's also kind of an annoying character, if you really want to get down to it.
In small doses, she's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, but this one, I mean, it pretty much continues where the last movie ended.
Yeah.
And it gets actually kind of confusing with robots and clones and so on and so forth. It was done very humorously.
Good. All right.
Very funny.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Fair enough. So let's move on to our next topic, which is going to be music.
Yes.
I actually threatened our Facebook people that I would go at great length about some music if we didn't get some contributors. So
and,
you were warned.
Yeah, you were warned. You did not listen.
All right. Shall I start? Because I actually have a few. And,
okay, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I've just got one.
All right. Well, I've been dying to talk about this song for a long time, and we need to do an 80s music podcast,
yes,
which I think will be done in a couple episodes, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's time.
Yeah.
My favorite song of that era is the, quote-unquote, one-hit wonder, In a Big Country, by Big Country. I absolutely adore this song. I love it because when you think of the 80s, it's the last sound that you really think of as belonging to the 80s. It's very unique in the way it's structured. There's no synthesizer in it.
No.
It's very layered guitar, and one of the guitars does a great job of almost sounding like bagpipes, but making them sound really cool.
Yeah. It's almost 70s in the 80s.
Almost. They actually... actually make up a really good blues quartet.
Yeah.
But they're just, they up until when the lead singer Stuart Adamson died back in 2001, they were still putting out albums. They were doing some really good stuff that you got to hunt for it. And definitely go to YouTube because there's plenty of stuff out there. But that song is just, it always stays with me. And I love that song so much because there's, like I said, there's just so much going on. The drums are really good. The guitar is really good. Mm-hmm. The bass is really good.
Sadly, with this song, I only know it when I hear the chorus.
Okay, so you couldn't pick it out if you heard any of the verses.
If I heard it beginning, I was like, "Wow, this is an interesting song." And that's the chorus. I know this.
All right, I know it. Duh,
yeah.
All right, why don't you take one, Mike?
All right, my pick is the Darkwing Duck TV theme song.
White and nerdy, folks.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Now, don't get me wrong. I love actually all of the theme songs to the well, at least to the beginning, to the first few shows of the Disney Afternoon.
Over the late 80s, early 90s Disney Afternoon.
Right. DuckTales, Tailspin, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. I love Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Okay.
But Darkwing Duck, I thought, kind of... because that was my favorite show out of all those.
All right.
Because I love superheroes. And that was kind of a spoof on the whole superhero.
I mean,
Darkwing Duck was himself kind of a spoof of Batman.
Right.
He had his villains were like spoofs of Magneto and Poison Ivy,
uh-huh.
and actually his rival slash girlfriend was a spoof of Doctor Strange. So
okay.
So I mean, it was just, and the song was just very R&B ish type song, but it suited the theme.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay, I got two songs that have been stuck in my head for like the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, one of them has been stuck in my head as well.
Oh my god. We're going to start with The Lonely Island's I Just Had Sex.
Yes.
With Akon. It premiered on the last episode of SNL before the Christmas break.
Right.
Holy shit, I cannot get this song out of
no,
my head.
No, nor can I.
Just gotta sing. I just had sex. And it felt so good. So good when I did it with my penis. A girl let me do it. It literally just happened. Having sex can make a nice man out the meanest. Never guess where I just came from. I had sex. If I had to describe the feeling, it was the best. When I had the sex, man, my penis felt great. And I called my parents right after I was done. Oh, hey, didn't see you there. Guess what I just did? Had sex, undressed, saw her boobies and the rest. Was sure nice of her to let you do that thing. Nice of any girl ever. Now sing.
I just had sex, and it felt so good.
The beauty of the song is it's just so dumb. They're these two dummies singing about having sex pretty much for the first time.
Yeah.
Calling up their mom, you know, they're talking, they actually had sex with a girl this time.
And they cried the whole time.
They cried the whole time. She put a bag on my head, but it still counts.
That's what I love about Lonely Island is that some of their best songs are about completely meaningless, you know, just everyday.
Well, it's not only that, but they do a good job of taking things that are just kind of like stupid,
right?
And they really just kind of revel in it. I jizzed in my pants.
Yeah, I'm on a boat.
I'm on a boat. Exactly that kind of thing. And the beauty is too is that they get really. Really talented hip hop artists to help out with it. Who have to have a sense of humor,
and
because Akon is singing over and over again, a woman just let me put my penis inside of her. You know that if that were somebody else, he'd be like, "Fuck that! I'm not saying that. That's stupid. Yeah. I get laid all the time."
And you know, probably the most memorable song of theirs, in my opinion, or the most at least very odd song, the Natalie Portman rap.
Oh my god. Oh my god, that one's great! And actually, they just showed that VH1 did a marathon of retrospectives of SNL, and they showed the Natalie rap,
right.
And it's just so funny seeing her because at that time she was still kind of pristine.
Yeah, it was around the Star Wars time when she was Padme.
Yeah, it was actually that episode came out around the time V for Vendetta opened.
Okay,
so she was still rocking the short hair. So, and I have one other song that's just been stuck in my head. I'll talk about this real quickly. It's, I don't even know if it's a new song or I just kind of caught up to it.
Right.
Called Big Casino by Jimmy Eat World.
Before this world starts up again, it's me and night. We wait for the sun, the kids and drunks head back inside. Well, there's lots of
I think the world of this song, because again, it's stuck in my head. It's got a great hook to it, and I'm a sucker for a hook. I can tell you, I can throw out, indie rock cred this and punk rock cred this, but when you get a good hook,
yeah,
I cannot resist that.
Yeah, it's just this one part of the song that it just clicks on you so much. That
yeah.
It pulls the whole song with it.
Exactly. We also have one kind of quasi-mention about a song.
Yeah.
The Mighty Ape Cod wanted us to mention that the video for Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone was pretty much the first time anyone had tried to get gays to serve openly in the military. Steve, I got news for you. In the Navy did that a long time before that. And don't forget, there was a congressional amendment made in the mid-80s that Kenny Loggins had to contribute a song to every soundtrack.
Yep, one or two.
Exactly, one or two. Oh, God, I'm Free is such a terrible song.
No, but it's got that hook for me.
I'm Free!
Look, I don't like anything but the chorus.
Right, but it's got, like, a children's choir singing along with them, you know?
Yeah, I don't like... But it's the chorus that just hooks me.
Have you seen Kenny Loggins lately?
Yeah.
He's turned into a bigger pussy than he was in the 80s. Yeah. He really has.
Well, now he's just doing Winnie the Pooh songs.
Well, he's doing that. Actually, all right, I got a great story about Kenny Loggins. Mid-90s, I was working at a department store, and someone really liked the cut of my jib, so he gave me a business card and said, hey, we're really looking for great people. Give us a call. So I gave him a call, set up an interview, and it was like one of those weird, almost cultish vitamins and air purifier type thing, almost like an Amway. And I sat and watched the introductory video. Oh, my God. Kenny Loggins was there talking about how his wife was essentially allergic to the air that they breathe. And he just shaved the beard so he looked like an old lesbian. Oh, my God. It was awful.
I'm guessing you didn't go for that job.
Oh, I ran. I was... Because, honestly, if I stayed with that job, someone would have found me under a blanket with, like, red tennis shoes on, waiting to catch the mothership. I think we need to move on, Mike.
Yes,
go ahead.
Now we're going on to video games.
Now, what do you mean? When we're talking about video games, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about mainly just game-changing moments. Moments that, you're playing through the game, it seems, seems like it's one way, and then something happens that just completely switches your entire perspective of, more than likely, the main character.
Right, okay.
I'm going to start off with Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic,
number
one.
Good game.
Yes, great game. This is, these are all spoiler alerts, so, if you're...
You haven't played the six-year-old game.
Right, then just skip ahead, a couple minutes in the podcast. When you find out that the main character you've been playing all along is actually Revan, the Dark Lord.
What?
The one that you thought had been killed off.
Wait a minute, I gotta zip through a couple minutes. Oh, shit, I can't.
Dang.
Damn it. La 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 la. Go ahead.
I did say spoiler alert.
I know, I can't leave the room.
But, I mean, you've been playing this character all along, both either light or dark side, and suddenly you find out that your character was the one that started this entire quest. That you've just been following in your own footsteps.
Stupid.
Stupid, yes, but it was game-changing.
Right, you're right. I'm not saying it's stupid. That's kind of stupid, but man, you're stupid if you didn't realize you're the bad guy.
Or the good guy.
All right, go ahead.
The next one, Bioshock. Number one.
All right.
I'm not going to say... just when you find out the importance of Would You Kindly.
You think you have memories. A father. A family. An airplane. A crash. And then this place. Was there really a family? Did that airplane crash? Or was it hijacked? Forced down. Forced down by something less than a man, something bred to sleepwalk through life until they are activated by a simple phrase spoken by their kindly master. Was a man sent to kill or a slave? A man chooses. A slave obeys. Come in. Stop, would you kindly? Would you kindly? Powerful phrase. Familiar phrase.
Would you kindly? Would you kindly get this? Would you kindly find that?
Would you kindly find that?
Would you kindly find that?
Would you kindly get this?
Would you kindly head to Ryan's office and kill the son of a bitch?
Okay.
I mean, basically, you're playing through the entire game. You're aiming to kill and hunt down and kill Andrew Ryan, the person that had been built in this entire underwater city that you're in.
Right.
And then you kill him about halfway through the game, and you find out he's not the real villain of this. And in fact, you've been manipulated from the very start of the game. It seemed like you'd been going down. You crash into a plane,
yep.
And you're in the ocean, and you find this tower. That's completely wrong.
Man, it's like every game you're mentioning is like a sleeper agent somewhere.
Exactly. And Final Fantasy VII, and I'm not talking about the moment when Aeris dies.
Okay.
Yes, that is a minor game-changing moment. It takes away this character, but in my opinion, the bigger game-changing moment is when you find out the truth about what Cloud was doing when their reactor exploded in Nibelheim.
Nibelheim.
Or Niflheim.
Okay, I'm going with Nibelheim. That just sounds hysterical.
But, I mean, the entire way you've been thinking he was there. He was like the kind of the co-captain underneath Sephiroth.
Yep.
And suddenly you find out, no, that was actually Zack. Cloud was there, but he was just this minor character.
Jeez.
So it was a big game-changing moment. It changes your entire perception.
Well, if you're changing the character you're playing throughout the rest of the game, absolutely. I only have one to talk about.
Go ahead.
And this Christmas, I got Autumn one of those Wii game cards.
Yes.
So she could download some of the online stuff, some of the classic stuff. And she downloaded Mario Brothers 3.
Right.
Fuck that game. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Seriously, why is it I can get through level after level after level of the hardest, Wii games and Xbox games and PS3 games. I cannot get past that second level without continually having to continue.
Yeah. It honestly, I got to say this to it's every single Mario game. They're fun as hell, but damn, you get frustrated.
Yeah. Now, do you count Mario 2 as a real Mario game? Because I've been kind of inclined not to.
I do, mainly because I left the plate as Toad in that game.
Okay. Well, he gets to fly.
No,
he doesn't get to fly. Princess. Yeah, what does he do?
He's the fastest for picking up things.
Oh.
So, taking out the Birdo with him is snap.
Yeah, alright, but still, fuck that game.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay, moving on. Now we're on movie scenes.
Alright, what do you got for me?
This one stuck in my head ever since I first saw it. The ending scene of Star Trek II. When Spock dies.
Oh, God, that is a rough scene.
Yeah.
That is a really rough scene to watch.
I would defy anyone to watch that scene and not have at least a single tear in their eye.
All right. I actually think that scene and the scene that immediately follows
the
funeral? It with the eulogy
is
Shatner's best acting ever.
Ever, easily. I mean, when his voice cracks.
Yeah,
is it most
when he says
human,
yeah. Oh, man.
We are assembled here today to pay final respects to our honored dead. And yet it should be noted that in the midst of our sorrow, this death takes place in the shadow of new life, the sunrise of a new world, a world that our beloved comrade gave his life to protect and nourish. He did not feel this sacrifice a vain or empty one. And we will not debate his profound wisdom at these proceedings. Of my friend, I can only say this. Of all the souls I have encountered in my travels, his was the most human.
Others?
You can actually buy that. You think that Shatner himself was cracking up with it.
For once, you bought Shatner's act.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love that. But yeah. You know what else I loved? Every scene Rip Torn was in the movie Dodgeball. I had almost completely forgot about this. One of the guys at work and I were talking about it, and it just came up. There are so many great lines that Rip Torn has in that movie.
Yeah.
As Patches O'Houlihan.
Oh, yeah, he steals every scene.
Are you sure that this is completely necessary?
Necessary? Is it necessary for me to drink my own urine?
Probably not.
No, but I do it anyway because it's sterile and I like the taste.
Oh, he does. He does, especially after he gets crushed by 3,000 pounds of irony in the casino. Fantastic. If you haven't watched Dodgeball in a long, long time, check it out again because the entire movie is awesome.
When he starts chucking wrenches at people, that's when you know he's got the scene.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a sucker for people getting hit in the balls. So I thought it was hysterical.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So finally, we got a couple of listener things here. I told you this was going to be a short show.
Yeah.
Alyssa from the UK wants us to talk about the Red Skull.
Yes.
Apparently, doesn't even realize he's evil, even though he is really, 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 really goddamn evil.
Yeah, I think Alyssa's exact words were, or roughly what she said was, this is a character that doesn't need a reason to be evil, he's just pure evil.
According to the Marvel Universe, Hitler feared him.
I believe it.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what, oh, what's his name?
Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, Hugo Weaving. I can't wait to see what he does with him.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm honestly looking more forward to Captain America than I am to Thor.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to Thor, don't get me wrong, but...
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to both.
I can't wait for that. And the Red Skull is kind of an interesting character, too, because he really is... He's like the Joker to Batman.
Yeah.
Or Moriarty to Sherlock Holmes. He is his nemesis.
Yeah, I mean, you got Captain America who stands for everything that America stands for.
Yep.
And you got the Red Skull who stands for everything.
Ultimate Nazi.
Yeah.
He is the ultimate Nazi. And
anti-American.
His daughter, Sin.
Yeah.
She's a badass as well, and he just, like, trained her to do that. So, awesome. Awesome. I don't think we talk nearly enough about villains on this show.
No, we need to do a
villain show. Well,
yeah.
Maybe one of our Hallmark episodes.
Yeah, maybe top 25 villains.
Maybe. We'll think about that.
Superheroes.
All right.
My friend Sean brought up the Mimic.
All right. Anyone remember who the Mimic is?
Oh, I can't remember what
if
his
you
name
own
is.
Any his name is Calvin Rankin.
That's it.
If you own any copy of the Marvel Universe, mm-hmm. He's the guy who's got all of the X-Men, the original X-Men's powers.
Right. So
he's got huge feet and hands. He's got the wings. He's got the visor on for the optic blasts.
Yeah.
And amazingly enough, he did not get Jean Grey's rack. So,
dang.
I know.
We can't really say too much bad about Mimic because Sean loves Mimic.
Now, is this, like, revived, you know, it's a Marvel Universe, so no one stays dead Mimic, or is this the original Mimic who was, like, co-deputy captain of the X-Men for, like, three issues?
I think it's either one. He just loves the character.
Here's what I can tell you about Mimic. Not a mutant, first of all.
No.
Chemical reaction caused him to be able to mimic people's powers instantaneously.
Yeah.
Was killed by the Hulk because he just absorbed too much gamma radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And from everything I can tell, total douchebag.
Yeah, even when he was a non-villain, he was still a douchebag. Sorry, Sean, he was.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read too many Mimic stories.
No,
but
he's kind of gone on the down low lately.
Yeah. Now, I do have to talk one other character,
yeah.
And that's Chemo. Chemo could very well be the most ridiculous villain in the world. And guess where he comes from? The DC universe.
I can think of one more ridiculous one in the Marvel universe.
Okay, well, you can get to that in a second.
Okay.
Chemo essentially is a 30-foot glass sentient being that is, like, filled with green goo, all right? When they show him, he just kind of looks like... He looks like a McDonald's toy that glows in the dark. but what I remember most about Chemo is that there was a picture in the inset of the DC universe where his head is kind of flipped open, like the lid of his head is flipped open, and some guy's just pouring... He's on a ladder, pouring this stuff in a pail into it. So it's almost like you just hear like that... Just that filling up sound.
Glug, glug, glug.
And, yep, there's your villain, and I think he fought Superman.
Yeah.
Yep. How about you?
Well, the really ridiculous villain for the Marvel Universe, Paste Pot Pete.
Otherwise known as the Trapster now.
Oh, really?
Changed his name in the 60s because even the writers in the 60s, Jack Kirby, knew Paste Pot Pete is a shitty name for a villain.
But his power is glue.
Yes, it is.
You can't, I mean, just give him peace pot, because he can't get any more.
Hey, what's your power? Oh, it's Elmer's. What? Where's my horse? Damn it! Peace pot Pete! Oh, boy.
I do have a favorite character from the DC Universe.
Okay.
Spoiler, who is actually now the current Batgirl.
Okay.
Stephanie Brown.
All right. What can you tell me about her?
Well, she started off as she's the daughter of, the Puzzle Master?
Okay.
But
knockoff of a knockoff of a real Batman villain?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. When Batman was first hunting him down, he would get these little clues by an unknown source, and it turned out to be the Puzzle Master's daughter.
All right.
Who took on, you know, created this figure called the Spoiler. It was basically just a cloaked, couldn't see her face. And she was around for a while. She was, she and Robin, not Dick Grayson, Tim Drake.
All right.
Pretty hot and heavy for a while.
Knocking boots.
Oh, yeah. And actually, she is actually holding the record as in the canon DC Universe, she's been the only female Robin.
In the canon DC Universe. That's...
Which one's
the canon? I always get confused. There were so many Infinite Earths.
The only other female Robin was in The Dark Knight Returns.
Right.
So, in the actual, you know, actual comic series...
Right, okay.
She was the only female Robin, and then she was killed off by the Black Skull, I think.
Okay.
The Black Mask.
Okay, yeah, Black Mask sounds better than Black Skull.
Yeah, Black Mask. And then she came back recently, and then she's taken over as Batgirl... when Cassandra Cain decided that she didn't want to do it anymore.
Okay.
And, I don't know, I like she's definitely learning the ropes.
All right.
She doesn't, you know, she's not great off of the bat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yes.
Well, thank you, everybody, who contributed to this. Yes. We really wish we had more.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
we're going to have it. You're getting another chance almost immediately.
Right.
We'll get into that at the end of the show.
And I'm sure we'll come up with something else along these lines, because we've got more ideas.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. So let's move on to the segments.
Yes.
Welcome to Trailer Park.
Yep.
We only have one movie to talk about. Mike?
The Great NASA Conspiracy of Mustachioed Robots.
What?
Also known as Transformers 3.
Dark of the Moon?
Yes.
Okay.
Which could be a Broadway musical.
Oh, my God. Yeah, seriously, doesn't it sound like a Julie Taymor?
Yes.
Holy shit. All right, where do we begin? Let's play a clip first.
Okay.
Ready to go?
We now have had confirmation of loss of signal from Apollo 11. Apollo 11 is on the far side of the moon.
Neil, you are dark on the rock.
Mission is a go. We have 21 minutes.
My God. The hole has been breached. Extensive damage.
No signs of life or movement control.
Take photos and samples and get them safe home.
You cannot believe what we're seeing.
We are not alone after all, are we?
No, sir. We are not alone.
All right. Where do we really begin? I have a lot of thoughts on this, so...
Yeah, why don't you go ahead? I got nothing at the moment.
Why do robots have mustaches? No, I want to get this straight, okay? And please correct me if I'm wrong. They are techno-organic beings from the planet Cybertron, correct?
Yes.
They were getting off-planet when they accidentally crashed on Earth.
Yes.
They weren't intentionally going to Earth. They crashed on Earth. Am I correct so far?
You are correct.
Okay. So they had no study of anything that was going on 2 million years ago on Earth, correct?
You are correct, sir.
All right, cool. All right, now that I'm out on that. And from what we can ascertain, because the clip is showing from 1969 on the first moon landing.
Right.
They find a robot in a cave. who apparently probably crashed with them 2 million years ago. No knowledge of anything on Earth.
Nope.
Why does he have a goddamn mustache? First of all, if only, like,
it's one of those 70s mustaches,
too. It's like a terrible porn mustache. It really is. It's like he's got this terrible handlebar mustache. He's over 2 million years old. No knowledge of any biped facial growth at all.
No.
What is the practical purpose of having a mustache?
I don't know.
It's like giving Jetfire a cane. Oh, I'm sorry, too soon. Or Devastator balls.
Yeah.
Too soon. Oh, my God.
I gotta say, one thing for Megan Fox, and that she doesn't have a whole lot going for her, she decided not to do this.
She avoided this movie. Yeah. By the way, I heard the best interpretation of what it is that Shia LaBeouf does that is not acting. If you need somebody to act like a whiny, entitled little pud, he's your man.
I'll buy that. I'll go with that so completely.
I pretty much just love that because they use the word pud, and I haven't used that since high school.
I've never used the word pud.
Oh, well, you didn't go to high school in the late 80s then, did you?
No,
you did not.
But I used the word pug, but not pud.
Yeah, again, no desire to see it.
No.
It's in 3D.
Yeah.
Michael Bay sucks balls.
Yes. I think that's been verified, actually.
Oh, my God. He is awful.
He's horrible.
How
does he keep getting work?
Because they make millions of dollars because people, no offense, are stupid.
None taken.
Yeah, okay. You paid movie money to see it. But you go for the curiosity. You've got more faith than I do, right?
Yeah.
My friend Steve, Ape Cod, defends these movies to his dying breath. And I think the world of Steve. Steve may be one of the smartest guys I know. I cannot buy his logic.
Yeah.
You know, yes, they're giant robots. They transform.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I can't tell any of them apart.
No. You know what? I would go out on a limb and say I enjoyed Transformers 1.
I enjoyed it as I left the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed this. And then I began to think about it.
Right.
And then, when you and I were both at CC, mm-hmm. I was having lunch in the break room, and they played it again. And I'm watching it, and I'm just, I've only got a half hour, so I'm just kind of watching what I can see. And it's where they've got the Allspark.
Right.
And the military's got it, and they're going to hide it
mm-hmm.
in a heavily populated area
yeah.
where giant robots are looking for it.
Right.
What?
I enjoyed it not so much as a Transformers movie because I liked the Transformers cartoon and the comic books, and this was not Transformers.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it as an action movie. As something fun to watch at the time, something you could just turn your brain off.
All right.
Transformers 2 came along. What the fuck?
Everybody turned their brain off for that movie.
No, I watched it. I was trying to turn my brain off, but the second I saw Skids, I was like, seriously? I can't turn my brain off for this. This is just baffling beyond belief.
It is. It really is. And now there's a third one.
Yeah, and then you had Shia LaBeouf's, his character's roommate, who was there for... He got more things hit in the balls than any other movie character ever. I mean, there wasn't so much ball hitting in America's Funniest Home Videos.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question, Mike. In terms of the nerds jump the shark moment, the quintessential jump the shark moment, is it Greedo shooting first
mm-hmm.
or Devastator swinging ball sack?
Devastator swinging ball sack.
Yep.
Mainly because Greedo shooting first... At least we have the rest of the movie to enjoy.
As dumb as it is less than 1 second of film. It's three frames.
Yeah.
Devastator's ball sack goes on for a long, long time. They make references to it.
Yeah.
And it's unnecessary. Unless his big Transformer power is to ejaculate over everybody in Egypt. Why?
Ooh. Wow, that would have been kind of freaky.
Ejaculatron? I still want to know what happened to Mountain Dewatron from the first movie.
I think he got crushed by the mountains of bush.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. It's like, a better name for him would probably be like product placement. Yeah. Placement, I guess. Okay, so go at your own risk.
Yes.
You've been warned. Are you going to get fooled again? Are you going to go?
You know what? I'm kind of stupid. I might actually go see it. It's just...
I didn't mean to call you stupid. I really didn't. I was just... I think that the people who went multiple times and... One guy... And actually, you work with him now. Matt.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. He was like, oh, that was awesome. What are you talking about? How that wasn't a stupid movie. It was awesome. Please tell me what was awesome about it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm still waiting for something awesome about it.
Yeah.
Okay, can you not mention anything about the explosions? Oh, boy. In case you're wondering, I also had to emphasize this to Mike by moving my finger in a clockwise thing, yeah. Almost like the 60 Minutes thing.
I might go see this, but I will not pay movie money. I will not pay full movie money. I'm going to go see like Matinee,
and don't see it in 3D.
No.
It wasn't shot in 3D. Don't go see it in 3D.
Hell no.
All right. That brings us to the salad shills. We've got one thing to talk about, and yeah. this should be a spirited little debate.
Yeah.
Mike and I both saw Tron Legacy in between episodes. You saw it opening night, right?
Yes, I did.
I saw it opening weekend. First time in forever I've been to an opening weekend show.
Did you see it in 3D?
I did see it in 3D because it was shot in 3D.
Yes, it was, and it looked it.
Well, here's the thing. We had movie passes. We just get these movie passes from in-laws, and we're down to like our last couple.
Yeah.
So you have to pay extra for the 3D glasses.
Right.
It was the cost of another movie ticket.
Oh, okay.
So it is exactly 50%. Added on to see the movie in 3D.
It just cost me $2 extra.
All right. What did you like about Tron Legacy?
I thought that as an action flick, it was phenomenal.
Okay.
It didn't have the depth of the original Tron. Like, the original Tron was very heavy in the Christ analogy and all
right,
that.
Right, right.
This was much more an action flick, but it had enough fun quotient that I felt it was worth it.
All right. Okay. I agree with you on the action part. Especially the stuff with the light cycles and the light jets was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I really felt like there was something missing. And I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it.
Okay.
But whatever that is really hindering me from, like, just, you know, making my nipples hard watching it because it was just... I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I know in the back of my head I really enjoyed the movie. I wasn't scrutinizing it the way I would, like, a Transformers. There was just something about it that it left me wanting something more. And I don't know what that is, but...
I was kind of hoping for, a post-credit sequence that showed, like, the Rinsler getting out of the water.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're not going to spoil anything about the Rinsler, but, there's something pretty cool about him.
Right. No, here's the thing. What do you think of the 3D?
I thought the 3D was very well done.
I thought the 3D was okay. I didn't feel like it took away from anything. It wasn't... No. Because it was shot in 3D, at least it looked good.
Yeah.
But I felt it was more like... It was used for layering more so. Nothing really jumped out at you.
No.
Everything was just kind of... It was nicely layered in like three separate planes of existence. Like the, you know, front, middle,
exactly.
and back.
I think that actually works best for the Tron. I mean, you don't need these like big pops, like these little gimmicks.
Right.
This was used more for just enhancing the texture yeah. of the digital world.
Right. I thought the guy who played Sam was perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah.
The only character I really took issue with, and it wasn't so much that I really disliked him,
mm-hmm.
but I really hope no Orthodox Jews were watching. Because there was so much ham in Michael Sheen's performance.
There was.
Oh, my God.
I personally think it was intended that way.
Yeah.
But it was kind of over the top.
Yeah, it was a little too over the top.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, it really just, it was very much out of place. Because everybody else in that movie, from Flynn to Clue to Sam to... What was her name? Oh, your last character?
Yeah. I don't know, but she was right. Hot.
Yeah. They were actually very stoic.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot of... there wasn't a whole lot of people really questioning what was going on. Nothing. And that actually made me feel at home with it. Yeah. No one was like, oh, what's going on? How can this be? Especially with Sam getting into the games.
Yeah.
And actually beating the first guy because he used to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I nearly wet myself when I saw the original Tron game.
Yeah.
I was so happy.
That was a very cool effect. Very cool.
All in all, I give it a straight B. I enjoyed it. I really... Jeff Bridges, to me... I like Jeff Bridges. I don't love Jeff Bridges.
You don't love...
I don't love Jeff Bridges. I think as everybody else has kind of grown to love him,
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of on that. I still like him. Mm-hmm. I thought he was great in Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
But the whole dude thing,
yeah.
I am completely over at this point.
I remember back in our, Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
On our episode.
Yeah.
Autumn mentioned that she couldn't rectify the Jeff Bridges from, you know, the dude with Jeff Bridges from Tron.
Right, exactly.
This was Jeff Bridges as the dude. He pretty much played the entire role as, like, he was stoned.
Abe Cod actually called it Obi-Wan Lebowski.
Yeah, yeah. I would buy that, yeah.
He was okay. You had something you said about Clue, though.
Yeah, they should not have had him with a mouth.
Yeah.
Because the effect of Jeff Bridges' face was fantastic. The mouth was not as fluid as a regular person was.
It kind of looked like John Lennon in Forrest Gump.
Yeah. It's the one thing that kind of destroyed that entire effect for me.
He is a goofy-looking motherfucker, by the way.
He is.
When he was young, he was really goofy-looking.
Who, John Lennon?
No, not John Lennon. Jeff Bridges, yeah.
Yeah. He's still kind of goofy-looking.
Yeah. Go see it. It's still in theaters. It hasn't left yet, even though Little Fockers is somehow getting people to spend money.
How can people still like Ben Stiller?
I don't know. I asked that about Russell Brand. I asked that really about Seth Rogen, even though I am so on the fence.
I definitely want to see Green Hornet.
All right.
Mainly because I saw the Mythbusters episode where Seth Rogen showed up.
Okay.
That was fun.
It's one of those things. It doesn't look awful.
No.
So we'll get into that another time. We'll talk about that when we see it.
Yeah.
This episode, we're not actually going to do a stupid.
Right. We couldn't come up with anything.
We really couldn't come up with anything. So instead, we have huzzah.
Yeah. We had a moment of just pure huzzah that just kind of wiped out any stupid.
Yeah. We're broadcasting on January 6th. Today is the first day of the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Big announcement today for all nerds. George Lucas was there, and he announced that this September 2011,
yep,
all six Star Wars movies will be released in Blu-ray.
Yeah. I am so going to pre-order it, the whole set.
I am. Autumn is already telling people she will not buy it for me, so start, you know, thinking about gifts for Christmas. She actually said my birthday, but my birthday is in March, and Christmas is, you know, September's a long way away.
Yeah, September's a long way away from Christmas, too. Can you actually go 3 months?
I'll live. That's my busy season. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, I'll live. I'll live.
I'm going to be buying it.
I know. But, now, do you think it's going to be just special edition cut, or do you think that they're going to include maybe a low-def version of the originals?
To be honest, I have a feeling with George Lucas, it's going to be just the special edition cuts.
All right.
But there's enough room on Blu-rays. I mean, there's going to be nine discs.
Can I add something about that, though? At this point, I'm beyond this whole argument over originals versus the special editions. Mm. I really am. I own the original cut of Star Wars on DVD. It's the only time I rebought a Star Wars movie on DVD was to get the original cut.
Right.
I honestly think Empire Strikes Back looks better in Special Edition, because it was just a cosmetic change.
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi is Return of the Jedi. I'll enjoy it either way.
Right. But I mean, there were some cosmetic changes that were beneficial and some that were negative.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think Star Wars, I mean, the Battle of Yavin never looked better than in Special Edition.
Exactly. And that's really my key argument. Apart from getting A New Hope. Without an episode 4 in front of it. You get that. You get Han shooting Greedo first. It's pretty lousy-looking special effects when you really want to break it down. And they're not going to emphasize the audio on it. It won't be 5.1. Even on the DVDs, it was still 2.0.
Yeah.
The special edition was 5.1.
Yeah.
And that's on the standard DVD. So, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to it. Again, I haven't... As much as my wife likes to say that I give a lot of money to Lucas, I haven't bought a Star Wars DVD in at least 5 years. And 6 years ago was when the original DVD box set came out, and that's when I bought them.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same thing with me.
Right, and, you know, I got... one of my old managers got me Revenge of the Sith for a gift for Christmas. So, realistically speaking, I haven't bought a whole lot of them.
Yeah.
So... whatever. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a huge nerd. I have a big TV. That's all I want.
I don't have a big TV, but I still got get those Blu-rays.
Yeah, now you got to. That's your incentive right there. Save your ducats. Get yourself a nice, like, 38 or 42-inch flat-screen LCD screen. Mm. Put it in your bedroom. Get an HDMI cable for your PS3.
Oh, I already got an HDMI cable from PS3.
Fantastic. Where are you plugging it into?
I have a 32-inch.
Okay. Yeah, you need the big screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a big screen out in the living room. I might use that one.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. So, anyway, that's about it. This is an unbelievably short episode, and if you haven't noticed, I'm starting to lose my voice.
I've noticed that a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so I apologize that I am not sounding good. However, hopefully this microphone is making us both sound spectacular.
Ricola?
I always want to call those Ricolas, just to piss people off. So anyway...
It's a Ricola!
Episode 37 is coming up next.
Yes.
And we have another listener contribution podcast.
I think this one should be pretty fun.
And this one will definitely be fun.
Have fun with it.
Please. It's our worst superhero movie scenarios, real and imagined.
Yes.
I want plot synopsises. I want actors. I want directors. I'll even give you one right now. I'll give you the essentially the teaser trailer slogan for one that I came up with when Mike and I were emailing back and forth the other day at work.
All right.
Shia LaBeouf is the Whizzer this summer. Occupied Europe gets whizzed on. A Michael Bay film.
I can see him doing that.
Oh my god,
really
no.
Sad.
The only character that Michael Bay is allowed to direct is Nitro, the exploding man. His power is he explodes and he reforms and he explodes again. He essentially is the reason why the Civil War and Marvel happened.
Yeah.
All he does is explode.
Basplosions!
So that's what we want. You can send it to us at geeksalad@yahoo.com. Get it to us on our Facebook pages or our Facebook podcast site.
Yep.
Also, check out our website, geeksalad.podbean.com, for the archives.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't decided what our current archived episodes are going to be, but I'll figure out something to put on there for all the new Podbean listeners. And, no, that's all I got. How about you?
I got nothing.
You got nothing. All right. Well, anyway, until next time, I'm Andy.
And I'm Mike.
Go forth and be nerdful. We'll talk to you later.
She gotta be a lesbian.
She is not a lesbian.
All I know is that dyke can play.